You're listening to a Zone Radio podcast, zoneradio.co.za.
And it brings the time to a 12 minutes, I beg your pardon, past four. And it's time for us to say welcome back, Steve Reed.
Thank you, Richard. Good to be back.
Where have you been?
You know, I'm as part of my work, I travel a little bit around the country, and that's a real privilege. But it's also a privilege to be here. So thank you for having me back.
Yes, well, they've been gone a long time. I wondered who the stranger was that walked into the studio here.
This handsome fellow.
Oh, yes, that handsome fellow. All right, Steve, good to have you back this afternoon. We're talking about quite an interesting thing, and it is a number of reasons why startups fail. And the reality is that so many do.
Correct.
Yeah.
And then some information about how to possibly avoid that.
Yes.
The statistic for that failure is over 90% fail, with certainly within a period of 10 years.
Mm.
So if that doesn't kind of rock you, then maybe think about it like this, that if there were 100 people in a room 10 years later, those that are still around are less than 10 of that. That's quite a staggering statistic. So this information comes from an investment company that kind of does really deep dive analysis of things, etc. So I have reason to support it. Plus, it's been affirmed by an actual entrepreneur. So it's not just theory.
Mm-hmm.
So listeners, hopefully this will help you. So here are eight reasons that startups, why they fail, but also then some mitigating factors, some things that you can put into place.
Okay.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read the eight things out, just the headings. And I want to ask if any of the listeners say, that one, et cetera, if they could, Richard, I don't know if they can communicate via WhatsApp.
Yes, they can.
Okie dokie. If they could, and I'd like to drill down on that or maybe even give an example, be lovely to interact in that way.
Mm.
But the best way that this can land is if they put themselves into the situation. So those of you who are business owners, who are entrepreneurs, here's eight reasons why startups fail and then what to do about it. Number one, a lack of product stroke market fit or PMF.
Mm-hmm.
Not PMS, PMF. Secondly, running out of cash.
Mm.
All right. Thirdly, no clear business model. Fourth, neglecting marketing and sales. Number five, failing to hire the right people. Number six, not adapting to change. Number seven, mismanagement of growth. And finally, a lack of focus. So in this beginning of this article, they talk about startup failure as high as 98% within the first 5 years. So back to number one, the lack of product market fit. 42% of startups fail because they lack that product market fit. Their offering simply doesn't solve a real problem that enough people are willing to pay for. Now, it sounds so
pretty straightforward,
of course.
Yeah.
But one of the reasons that people violate that principle is that they're so in love with the idea that they don't take the time to test it, to see if there is a real, genuine market and it's a sustainable market. So startups need to identify a problem worth solving and then develop a solution that meets the market needs. To find the PMF, product market fit, startups should engage in some research, customer discovery, like talk to them, and regular product iteration. So it does mean that it's highly unlikely that the first time your product hits the shelves or the market, that it's going to stay exactly the same.
Mm.
Because the feedback that you get will be
correct.
Will impact that.
Correct.
However, you must be willing to pivot if your initial product or service doesn't sit with your
yeah.
target audience.
Mm.
Now, that's an interesting one. Because some people are so married to it. I'm going to, you know, I know that all I need to do is persevere. Well, you do need to persevere, but if there's not a genuine fit, then you need to be man enough to say, whoops.
I think that part of that perseverance is actually acknowledging the fact that there is tweak. There are tweaks that are required or, you know.
Very much so, yeah. Rich. So spend at least 50% of your time deeply understanding your target customer's problems. Okay, not superficially, deeply. Let their struggles guide your product roadmap rather than your own assumptions.
Mm.
Be ready to quickly pivot based on your customer feedback. It is amazing what happens when you speak to your perceived customers.
Mm.
You will get feedback. It might not be
what you want to hear.
Exactly what you want to hear,
yeah.
But it'll be so valuable.
Mm.
Number two, running out of cash. You've likely heard the phrase, cash is king.
Mm-hmm.
29% of startups fail because they run out of money. They've got a thing called burn rate. So startups need to understand the importance of cash flow, as insufficient funds can lead to failure. To avoid this, the entrepreneur should start small, validate demand, and scale gradually, creating a realistic financial projection and closely monitoring cash flow can help startups avoid running out of money. So they recommend obsess, listeners, over cash flow projections and monitor your burn rate. Your burn rate is how fast you're spending the money. Start small. Scale slowly in conjunction with validated customer demand. Consider, and this is one that people don't always remember, consider starting a side hustle that's an income stream to self-fund your startup. Mm. Nothing wrong with that. Mm. Number three, they have no clear business model. They're in love with the thought of being their own boss.
Mm.
They're in love with the thought of being an entrepreneur. I started my business. It's good. But they actually don't have a very clear idea. 17% of startups fail because they lack a well-defined business model. So listeners, if you can't clearly explain how you're going to get customers, deliver value, and monetize your offering, you'll quickly find yourself off track. So have a well-defined business model. That's so crucial for startups to generate revenue and achieve sustainable growth. Entrepreneurs should invest time in understanding their target market, what they will charge, their sales channels, and this thing called KPIs, which is key performance indicators, to develop a robust business model. You know what? You may have built an amazing product that people love. But if you don't know how you're actually going to make money from it, your startup is doomed. So what must you do? Take the time to map out your business model canvas. Listeners, if you've never heard of that, it's a one-page canvas that normally has 9 blocks in it that talks to from start to finish. Like, number one, what problem are you solving? What's your solution? What makes you unique? How do you reach your customer? That kind of thing. Mm. So find out. You can Google it. Find a thing called the business model canvas and work on it. Richard, I'm probably with my 3rd or 4th iteration of my business model canvas. So rather than a business plan, a business model canvas. Identify your target customers, value your value proposition. What are you actually offering? Your channels, your revenue streams. These are parts of that business model canvas. Your resources, your partnerships, and continually refine based on the market feedback. Number four, neglecting marketing and sales. So a 14% of startups fail because of poor marketing efforts. Many founders focus all their efforts on product development and they neglect critical marketing activities. So you should put aside a significant portion of your resources to marketing and sales to attract customers and generate revenue. Let me just pause there, Richard. So I don't actually, at this stage, I'm not looking for a lot more customers, a lot more clients. But I do want to keep my name out there.
Mm.
So I have a wonderful relationship with our with a marketing company called Gorecki Marketing. Mm. I may have mentioned them before. And they post regularly. They post stuff on LinkedIn and Facebook, which are my chosen social media.
Mm.
And it's fascinating because I watch my likes or visits I'll go down, and then the minute a post comes where I give some information, I might even put this podcast on, then it goes up, and then I might get some inquiries. Those inquiries I use to build for the future.
For the pipeline.
Absolutely. So continue to invest in your marketing. So what's an effective marketing strategy? Well, it should contain content marketing, social media, email campaigns can help startups reach their target audience and boost sales. The startup should have the most disruptive product. You could have it since the iPhone, but no one will buy it if they don't know about it. So here's what they say. Marketing can't be an afterthought. Set aside at least 15% of your funds for marketing activities like content creation, digital ads, referrals, and PR. Leverage low-cost strategies like social media that will get you started.
We're halfway through.
Yes, indeed.
Okay, I'm going to just pause there because there's a question, statement, call it what you like, that's come up on the WhatsApp. And this is it. Now, we may have covered some of it now. We may cover it, some of it in the
following four.
The statement is, I think that with a lot of startup businesses, they are trying to be the marketer, the admin, the salesperson, etc. themselves, and the cash, as the cash flow might be insufficient to pay salaries for these positions.
Great experts
in the field. And, you know, we've just got to the marketing and sale. And the next point is failing to hire the right people. So the reality that this person is talking about is that, yes, they agree.
Yep, absolutely.
But sometimes they're not the resources to actually fund that.
However, so I can't afford a full-time marketing unit.
Mm.
I can't afford a full-time accountant.
Mm.
But I cannot not afford to have that excellence in terms of accounting, in terms of marketing, etc. I will probably blunder and make mistakes, expensive mistakes.
Mm.
So I'll pay for that service.
Mm.
And so as you're growing, you can start do that.
Mm.
Even if it's a small amount,
mm.
you don't have to have a full-time marketing or salesperson.
Mm.
And yes, they're correct. Most entrepreneurs have to learn to be
jack of all trades.
Correct.
Yeah.
And you know what? Challenge yourself because you could say, oh, well, that's not me. Well, make it you.
Mm.
Grow into it.
Mm.
Come on. Why can't you do that?
Mm.
Part of the growth mindset, Richard and listeners, is that you say that effort and perseverance can actually tilt the scale, can actually change things.
Mm.
So I might not understand Excel spreadsheets, but I need to add one three-letter word at the end of that. Yet.
Okay.
Yet. But great question or point that came up there. Number five, failing to hire the right people. And this is where you can bring in people, even if they come in part-time or they come in voluntarily. You can bring in people. No matter how talented a founder you are, you can't build a successful startup alone. Nearly 25% of startups fail because they don't assemble a team with the diverse skills and experience needed for their business model. Building a strong company culture and providing opportunities for professional growth can help attract and retain top talent. Now, here's the thought. I'm involved with a wonderful program with the National Business Initiative where young people with appropriate skills can be placed at a business where the NBI pays for that.
Mm.
Now, what the exchange there is that those young people should be given opportunity, experience, etc. But think about it, you know, some of the admin that you struggle with, some you can bring in people who are starting their career at no cost to you, but at serious value to you. So that's a way of bringing in people even when you can't afford it. Map out the core skill sets you need to start, the technical, the design, marketing, and sales, and fill any gaps in your team. And, yes, for some people, consider co-founding with someone who has complementary abilities. You know, some guys are incredibly creative, etc., but they as far as the business side, they lack a bit. Number six, not adapting to change. Listen to this. 75% of startups change their initial ideas as the market landscape shifts and they get feedback. If you rigidly cling to your original business plan and refuse to adapt, your startup will die. Startups should stay informed about market trends and be willing to change course if their current strategy isn't working. Regularly assessing the business plan and staying agile can help startups navigate changing market conditions. Change is the only constant. Startups need to be ultra responsive to changing conditions and willing to pivot when needed. So here's what the experts recommend. Set up early warning signals to detect market changes. Talk to customers daily. Have regular check-ins to discuss if any pivots are needed based on learnings. Be ready to change tactics immediately. So I can think of two companies and one industry that didn't read the signs. Kodak. I don't know what they were called. Video, the ones we used to go to hire videos.
Yeah, video hire.
Yes, but there was
The company you're talking about. I'm trying to think of the name of the company as well. Yeah. Home Video or something it was called. Yeah.
And of course, the Swiss watch industry. They refused to believe, because they were the masters of the watch mechanism, they refused to believe that a digital advancement could change the tilt the field. That's exactly what they did. And the shocking thing was that digital invention or creation and innovation came from within their own midst. And they so scoffed at it that they said, no, go ahead, you can put it at a symposium or one of these things. And two companies, one Japanese and one American, walked by, saw it, Sony and Texas Instruments, and they got into it. And, of course, Sony has revolutionized things with the digital. So you look at a company like or a country like Switzerland, at one stage, that world dominance, 85% of the world's watches came from there.
Now it's, maybe 5%.
It's a much smaller thing. Number seven is mismanagement of growth. While some startups struggle to scale, growing too quickly can also be a problem, can kill your business. Premature scaling affects 70% of startups, according to these guys' analysis. So you should have a well-defined growth strategy and understand when to hire, to delegate, and let go. And, of course, entrepreneurs and business owners are not always that keen to delegate and to let go. When your startup starts gaining traction, it's tempting to sprint and aggressively try to capitalize on momentum. However, uncontrolled rapid growth can destroy startups. Hiring too many people or overextending your marketing budget before really proving your model is very risky. You spread yourself too thin and cash burns faster than you can replenish it. So how do you counter that? Set growth goals tied to specific metrics before expanding your team or spending. Use stage funding rounds to control the pace of scaling. Bring on, and here's where that person's point could be met, bring on contractors or freelancers to flex capacity up or down. Mm. Oops, we've got to. So don't necessarily go hire someone with a full price tag.
Mm.
Bring on a freelancer or a contractor. And then finally, listeners and Richard, lack of focus. Research shows that 13% of startups fail because they need more focus. They mistakenly try to enter too many markets, they add too many features, or they distribute through too many channels all at the same time. So what should we do? We should concentrate on one core offering, perfect it, and then consider expanding. Maintaining focus and prioritizing resources on a single product or service can help startups avoid spreading themselves too thin and ensure they deliver exceptional value to their customers. Startups lack the resources of big companies, so you can't try to do everything at once. Remain laser focused on the core elements of your business. Remaining focused is key. So here's the final thing they say. Zero in on one core customer niche. Say no to distractions outside your focus area, especially in the early days. And deliver incredible value for your target customers before expanding your focus. And so, listeners, may you be part of the 2%, according to this 98% of startups struggle and fail. May you be part of the
2%
that push through and actually continue, and they hopefully become growth entrepreneurs that change the dynamic for themselves, but also for many, many others.
Very good stuff, Steve. Okay, interesting interview. A few of those resonate with me. I'm now in a completely different track to what I was 4 years ago, the same business, but offering different services while I still slowly pursue the original goal, which is what you said, had that side hustle and focus on going for the original goal. Also lost an opportunity to open channels in Australia because of available casting. Hopefully I'll get another crack at it. Good advice all around. Thank you very much.
Good Steve. On you, mate.
Okay. All right. Well, there we go, Steve. I think that is awesome stuff. We'll podcast that. And you're doing this as a seminar for people, you said.
Yeah, I'm actually presenting this as a masterclass up in Durban tomorrow.
Okay.
Not Durban, Mundeni, above Durban.
Okay. Well, there we go. Good luck with that.
Thank you so much.
All right. And you'll be back in 2 weeks' time. Yeah,
yes, and I hope to bring because it's Women's Month, I hope to bring a lady entrepreneur business owner in as well to honor wonderful ladies.
All right. On this topic?
I might bring that in as well,
okay,
about growth and the things that they could do.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll be bringing in this lady, a lady.
Looking forward to that, Steve. Thank you very much. That's Steve Reed, folks, and you can find his information on our podcast this evening, and we will post that somewhere around 7 or 7:30. And we look forward to having Steve and his guest in the studio in 2 weeks' time. Nice to have you back, Steve.
Thank you, Rich.